Okay, we are now recording. Welcome to the January 15, 2020 Hyperledger Quilt Community Call. On the Hyperledger Wiki is the Hyperledger Antitrust Policy and Code of Conduct. Please take a look at those. If you would like to contribute to this call or the code base. So let's get started. On the call, we have Noah and Ian. So we don't need any real intros. I wanted to basically just talk through some of the issues that are in the repo. I think I filed a few recently. And it looks like Neil filed one also. So first one is issue 414, which I just encountered today. So today I was trying to peer the ILPv4 dev wallet. For anyone listening at home, we have a little Interledger test node and wallet. You can check it out at wallet.ilpv4.dev. It's all testnet money, of course, but was trying to peer that with the Rafiki Money testnet wallet. And for whatever reason, I was getting a bad request response from Rafiki. And so you can take a look here. I'll put a link in the chat here. That's the issue I'm talking about. So I got kind of a benign error that ended up with a tag mismatch, which made me think, the Java SPSP stream sender and the JavaScript stream receiver, which is what powers Rafiki, don't interopt correctly. Usually when you see a stream tag mismatch, there's some kind of encryption problem. You can see that stack trace there. But it actually turns out that this is more just a problem of like, Rafiki returns a 400 bad request when we try and post a packet to it. And the ILP over HTTP link code sort of incorrectly parses that response. So I think the Java code is expecting a JSON payload, but the only thing that comes back is just the text called bad request. So it's not JSON. And then that throws an IO exception, and then it kind of like works its way into trying to encrypt, I guess, here. So obvious fix here is to make sure that the error handling or like the error path is correct. There's another problem where the triggered by was actually like the operator. So it'd be like, in this case, the string sender. But the actual node that triggered the bad request is Rafiki Money's connector. So that's another to do here to adjust the triggered by in the rejection packet so that when it manifests in logs, we know kind of who triggered that bad request or that error. So any thoughts or questions there?
Not at the moment.
Yeah.
I marked that as 1.1. So we have currently 1.03 is the version of the library that is in Maven Central. And there's one fix that Neil committed that updates the custom properties of links and the way some of the auth is interpreted. So we've decided that the next version of the library will be 1.1. So this 414 issue I marked is 1.1, but there's a bunch of other issues marked 1.1 that we should probably fix. Some of them are breaking. I would say very slightly breaking, but they are breaking. And so 1.1 is probably gonna be a good place to fix some of the other changes that we've made. Mostly we've made changes in a backward compatible manner with deprecated methods. So I guess fair warning about 1.1. Shouldn't too much of a breaker, but it probably will have some breaking changes. The next issue I didn't file is 413. You'll file that, so you don't know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it at all, but I'll take a minute to read through it. Yes, I do remember what this is about. So when you make a stream sender, it typically just has one executor service that it creates inside, especially with like the NOARG constructor. And so you create a stream sender, you use it, and then you're done with it. When it gets garbage collected, the executor service, I guess we don't call shutdown, and so that thing never gets garbage collected. So not a huge issue, but I think over time, something like a Hermes or anything running stream senders will manifest like a little bit of a memory leak. So Neil outlines some possible solutions there.
Cool.
I'm gonna mark you that as 1.1 also. Next is 410, improve the congestion control per interledger RS. So basically Anshal has been working with the Rust team to fix some bugs and just kind of, maybe minor is the wrong word, but some bugs in the congestion control and the stream sender overall. So I have a link to that PR. And I'll mark it 1.1, like maybe we don't actually, you know, put it in 1.1.0, but I think hopefully we can get it into that version. So the next one is 409. Are you guys able to, like, you're following along on issues, or do you want me to paste these into chat?
It'd be awesome if you could paste it in the chat.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, so there's a link to issue 409. This one is kind of a minor thing. More so filed just for like, to make it more obvious for developers when they're using links, but basically if you have a link that's only like working one way, like maybe it's only receiving packets in this case, Neil calls this an incoming only link. In that case, you don't need the outgoing URL or auth token or anything like that. So I think to pull that off, we would need to refactor a few things, but there's also, you can see the second paragraph there where the current code requires a bearer token supplier, which is like when you're making an outgoing link, that's how the code can like go grab a bearer token without actually knowing, you know, having to put that in the quilt itself. So anyone constructing a link can kind of create their own implementation of the bearer token supplier. But if you're not doing outgoing requests, then you don't need a bearer token supplier. But the current organization of the code requires it. So there's a bit of a mismatch there. I'm not sure, like maybe we work that into 1.1. I'm just gonna mark that as an enhancement for now. And anyone feel free to chime in if you have questions or thoughts here, but I'll move on to 406. So we have a soldier on run loop in the stream sender, and basically what it does is it's this loop, and it, you know, kicks off stream packets. So if you're trying to send like a 10 XRP payment, that's going to get broken up into a bunch of packets, and this soldier on will like keep looping and checking various things. So like, is there more to send? then sending. Currently, we I think the default is 100 milliseconds, and this ticket seeks to make that configurable. Actually, we were talking yesterday, and Ian, I don't know if you remember this. I'm a little fuzzy, but I feel like Neil suggested we should move that down to like 5 milliseconds. Do you remember him saying that?
Yeah, I remember him saying that.
I can't remember why though at the moment. I feel like it was like so it's like if you send one packet and then you sleep 100 milliseconds, if you're going to send like 20 packets, I guess you're looking at like 2 seconds at least just to get all those packets out. Whereas if you decreased the wait time on the run loop, you could actually get 20 packets out much more quickly.
Yeah, it's because the ramp up takes too long. So that would help accelerate the ramp up a bit.
Yeah. Do you remember though, like imagine we're in a scenario where we're ramped up, but the max packet in the payment path is like sort of low. So like imagine it's like 1,000 units. So like there's going to be a lot of packets that need to be sent in the stream. Even though the run loop is like every 100 milliseconds, won't it kick off multiple packets in parallel still?
It,
I feel like it does. It does it up to the thread pool, maybe. Go ahead.
But it has to, I'm trying to think what that ends up meaning. I think what ends up happening is that you have to wait for it's a question of what the max in flight is, right? So
yeah,
I think it's something like, I'd have to look at the conditions again, but I think it's something like, because you do that pause when you're blocked on max in flight, which is a function of the congestion controller, when you're waiting for that feedback to happen, I think you just don't end up checking fast enough to ramp up quickly. I don't know. It's been a little while since I've looked at the loop, but
yeah, me too.
Yeah, Neil. I don't know. Neil seemed to have a better understanding because he's been looking at it more closely recently. So,
so I'm just going to leave a note in here about the fact, like, about actually reducing this. Ian, it's okay if you don't remember, I don't actually remember this either, but do you remember is there anything like super expensive, like imagine packets are in flight and we make that run loop like 5 milliseconds. Are there expensive things that the run loop is doing that would bite us if we were like doing that a ton, like looping through very quickly?
No, because you're really just checking the condition, like everything that's in flight is going to report back aggregate statistics in the background, right? So you have all of these atomic references that are storing state about the stream payment. And so all those background threads are going to update those statistics, and those statistics directly influence how the run loop is checked. So there are only a few lines above the check to see if we should just sleep and then continue. And they're, excuse me, they're not expensive calls. So you are going to run in a tight loop, but the stuff that's running in that tight loop is not impactful at all. Like you end up bailing pretty fast.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, in that case, if you're bailing, it sounds like the loop is stopping. I guess I was thinking more just the other case where the loop is churning because it's waiting on IO. But it seems fine.
Yeah, so the only thing that you end up doing is you ask the payment tracker how much money it should send, which is a very simple calculation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to figure out to see if the amount to send is zero, to see if you should trigger the sleep. That's the only thing that has any kind of computational complexity to it. And that's really trivial. So yeah, that's all you're really, yeah, I'm just looking at this now. Like you're doing a minimum of two values and you're doing, let's see, I guess you're doing an exchange rate calculation, but that's just a little bit of math. Like there's nothing that I would worry about actually using up resources in any kind of meaningful way.
Cool. Okay. That's kind of what I thought. I just, it's sure. Been a while since I've been in that code. I suppose we can, whoever works on that can dig more deeply, but it sounds fine. It sounds fine to have, like, we went very tight on the run rate.
I mean, we're writing load tests, right? So
that's true.
If we screw something up, we should see it pretty fast. That's something that'll probably blow up pretty quickly if we get it wrong.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else there from anyone? Questions, concerns? There's a couple small ones from a guy named Shekar who's slowly but surely working on some tickets. So thank you, Shekar. Keep going if you're listening. I think two of them have been merged, and so it looks like the tickets just haven't gotten closed here, so I'll close those two. This is the last one. This is one that I, last issue, one that I posted a while ago, December, issue 400. This was a proposal from, I think from Adrian. Yeah, there's a link there to the RFC. I'm not actually sure if this is like worth doing. So I see that the RFC kind of wasn't exactly controversial, but I think it was more like, do we need this? So I'll leave this around. I'm going to pull off 1.1 because I don't think this is something that we should like commit to for now. So I've set up a project in Quilt in GitHub. Here's a link to it. So this is just maybe a different view. Like you can of course click all the tickets labeled 1.1, but this kind of shows more of like a Kanban board type thing. So, I'm not sure that there's anything, definitely we need the 1.1 to make the, to make a new release of the Java connector. Specifically, we're currently in the Java connector relying on head snapshot, is we've actually updated our own code to conform to the new custom properties that Neil implemented. So we definitely need a 1.1 release at some point. But I think for now, it's like we don't need it like today. So I think we can keep relying on head snapshot in the Java connector until we want to do a release of that. That's all I have. I guess there is one pull request. So I actually fixed 374. I'm just going to update the branch here, but if you guys get a chance, take a look at that, and one or two approvals would be great. It's pretty simple. The background there, I don't know if you guys remember, but this, when the stream receiver generates a secret, there is a seed phrase that gets used. And when Evan initially wrote the REST code, he picked a different phrase than the JavaScript. And then later he changed that in Rust. And so we wanted to change it also. This just kind of allows us to there's like a NOR constructor, and then there's a constructor that takes a string, so you can kind of vary that as you use it.
Makes sense.
Cool. Other than that, those are sort of all the open issues. Of course, the four of us on the call can work on those and will be in the coming weeks. But if anyone's, I'm going to post this recording up to the wiki. So if anyone's listening and feels like getting involved, please reach out. Ian, Noah, or Vidya, do you guys have any other thoughts or things you want to talk about?
I think I'm good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So next call is in 2 weeks, and we will chat then.
I had a quick question, David. Oh, so the
yes?
purpose of the calls is to just talk about the open issues.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's one thing that I have been using it for, but I think anyone can kind of throw anything on the agenda that's related to Quilt or Interledger. So Quilt's pretty focused on Java implementation of Interledger, and specifically mm-hmm. like the underpinning library. So mm-hmm. A connector is a big component of Interledger, but we don't actually have any like connector server code in Quilt at the moment. So Quilt is more of like the baseline libraries that get pulled in to the connector or other ILP nodes. So it's a mm-hmm. little bit narrow than just like all Interledger or all Interledger Java. But mm-hmm. You can see our agendas are pretty sparse. So lately I've just been using it as more of a team sync around issues in Quilt, given that we're kind of the ones working on them. Okay. I'm happy to talk about anything really. There's no like formal restriction, like we can only talk about the code or something like that. We can, all things Interledger are able to be talked about if you're wanting to.
I guess I'm just trying to, so this is more like a call, like a group call, just the few of us working on this stuff, the Quilt, the Java implementation, and then there's the other call that's like the larger ILP community.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the other call is really like the whole community. So developers, business people, just people that are curious. Like, generally, we try and keep it like non-implementation specific. So,
okay,
it would be fine if somebody said, "Hey, I have this problem in the JavaScript connector or the Java connector. But if that probably wouldn't, like Adrian probably wouldn't let that take like half the call.
He'd right.
probably say, you know, go reach out to that team or head over to the Quilt call and maybe talk about it there.
Okay.
I don't seem to have that meeting on my calendar. Can somebody forward that invite to me when you get a chance?
Yeah, which one? This call or the Interledger community call?
The Interledger community call.
Oh, yeah. You're not on it.
I was only on the last one because...
Yeah, I saw you on the last one. So.
Yeah, I think Ian was like, oh, are you going to join this call? And it was like halfway through.
Awesome.
So...
So I just invited you. That calendar invite it's mine.
Okay.
So there's only like 4 or 5 people on it, and so it's you know 99% of the time accurate. So Adrian tries to peg that call to UTC. So like when daylight savings time happens, everybody kind of always gets confused. So that calendar invite should sort of the daylight savings time proof.
Okay.
But yeah, keep me honest. It's possible that it may not work exactly perfectly. So, but cool. It should be pretty good.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Well, with that, we'll stop recording and see you all in 2 weeks.
Cool.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye.